Thank you for joining Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into ideas about and discussions on disability topics. My name is Sam. I'm the host of this show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Annie Harview is my engineer. Thanks for engineering, Annie. And Charlene Dahl is my research woman. Thank you for doing what you do, Charlene. Tonight, we have a couple great guests on. Mark Knutson. Did I say that right, Mark?
No, Knutson.
Knutson, sorry. Mark Knutson.
I answered her both, so it doesn't matter.
And Charlie Bros. And they will be talking about their show, Disability Landscape, right?
That's correct.
And on your YouTube channel, the Disability Channel Minnesota. So thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate you guys for doing that. In this interesting time of virtual microphones. So, so why don't you start out?
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. Why don't you start out a little bit by at least giving some history on you guys and actually how you, I know one of you has a disability, right? Do both of you?
We are both disabled.
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you talk a little bit about yourselves and how you got your disability.
Mark, go ahead.
Okay. my disability is congenital. So from birth and that, it's a fairly rare one. In fact, growing up in the Twin Cities and going to school with disabled, you know, other disabled kids and doing a lot of wheelchair sports, I never met anyone else with my disability until I was like 25 years old. I went to a weightlifting tournament, and a guy there noticed me. And basically, my disability affects the lower half of me. My legs are crossed, and they're small in size, so they don't move. So it's pretty obvious when you see it. You're like, oh yeah, that's you know. The guy said, oh yeah, that's my disability. So my disability is pretty rare. But grew up in the Twin Cities. Went to high school there in Minneapolis at Marshall U, which is closed now. Mm-hmm. And that's where me and Charlie went to school there. And that's how we met and that. So why don't you talk about your background a little bit, Charlie?
Yeah, Charlie.
And my disability is I was born with congenital birth defects also, deformed legs. So at age 5, I had both legs amputated just above the knee. Wow. So, you know, I've been, you know, half the person for pretty much all my life. And, you know, people kind of wonder how you get along that way. And, you know, it's second nature for, you know, Mark and myself, as opposed to somebody who, you know, has an accident later on in life and have to adjust to a disability. So, you know, as I always tell people, you know, if they ask me how I'm doing something, I says, I just have lots of practice.
Yes.
and Mark is right. We both went to high school together at Marshall University in Minneapolis. And we were both puck heads. We both played adapted floor hockey. So.
Ah, there's another show I sense. So do either of you do prosthetics or are you both just wheelchair?
For myself, I did prosthetics till I was about 13 years old and found them to be a really large pain in the rear.
Oh,
so we, you know, with my parents' permission, we said, you know, enough is enough. And actually, for a good portion of my life up until I was about 30 and, you know, got fat and, you know, gained all my weight, I used to walk around on my hands.
I used a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Use a wheelchair to go shopping, that kind of thing. But, you know, around the house, it was, you know, freewheeling it on the hands.
Cool.
Yeah. For me, the being my legs were still there at an early age, they asked my parents, to be fitted with prosthetics, they were going to have to amputate the legs. And being it was quite a few years ago, I won't say when, but let's just say quite a few years ago, my parents really didn't want to take, because apparently with the surgery, they were going to be dealing with the spinal cord and all that. Mom and dad just said, nah, you know, he's getting around as, you know, good, you know, good as it is. And what's interesting is also that Charlie and I actually grew up just a couple miles apart. So I don't know if Charlie ever heard, but sometimes I always hear from people, hey, Mark, there's another one like you over in this part of South Minneapolis. So,
oh, my.
We're kind of like stunt doubles to one another.
Yeah, my mode of transportation in my neighborhood was a skateboard. So, you know, sit on the skateboard, just propel myself.
Ah, yes.
I think that's how we got the reputation.
Yeah.
And of course, prosthetics have changed so much during the years. I remember when I was growing up, I actually had a teacher's aide who had a prosthetic leg. And okay. She used to call it her wooden leg.
Right,
I don't know if it really was or not. I did
decide
to ask her that. But I know they've changed a lot.
Well, I can attest that, yes, the ones I had were actually wood and composite. And so they weighed probably 10 to 15 pounds, which made them quite uncomfortable to use.
Huh. Well, fast forward many years, you guys decided to start a show on disabilities. What made you decide to do that?
Maybe you've heard of it. But I was working in the backgrounds as a camera person on another community access show, Disability Viewpoints, mm-hmm. with Mark Hughes. And so I was working behind the scenes on that. And I knew Charlie was involved doing community access, programming. And so I reached out to him because I had seen about 5 years ago, there was a YouTube channel out there called The Disability Channel, and it's up in Canada. So I'd like to say we had the original idea, but I'll admit we're just copycats. But I approached Charlie, and I originally was thinking of doing a podcast, but with Charlie's connection with Community Access over there, we got talking. And I just, you know, I told Charlie, why don't we start like a YouTube channel and basically, you know, called Disability Channel Minnesota. And then I'm also have a show then. So we put all of our interviews out on our channel. And then what Charlie does is he'll take the interviews and then he packages them into a half hour show. And then that half hour show, which is Disability Landscape, we put that out on Community Access. So right now it's being played up in the Community Access system of CCX Media, which is Brooklyn Park and the surrounding areas. And a few months ago, we got on MCN6. I don't know if you've heard of the Minnesota Community Network Channel 6. They... MCN6, they're on all the Twin Cities cable systems. So in the Twin Cities, you have 14 different cable systems.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever cable system you're on, if you turn to Channel 6, everyone sees the same channel 6. So if you're in the Twin Cities, our show is on Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock on MCN 6. That's kind of how this grew in that. Charlie, why don't you say a little bit about some of the stuff you were doing, you know, with community access and producing, because Charlie was doing quite a bit of producing and directing before this.
Yeah, I was kind of a studio rat there. A lot of directing for various programs. I had my own program that we did. It kind of was difficult getting guests because I was running out of people to talk to. We were highlighting different adapted sports within the Twin Cities and people that participated in them. So to kind of give people an idea of what kind of activities were out there. So when Mark came to me with this, his idea, you know, we decided to kind of broaden that and go, you know, let's tell people about the awesome folks out here that are persons with disabilities that are out in the community doing things for the community and, you know, having a great time doing it. And so that was kind of the way we wanted to get the show directed.
What did you came up with the name Disability Landscape. So what does that mean to you? How did you come up with that?
I would have to say it would be, you know, the broad view of what's available for persons with disabilities and things they can do and things they are doing. So it's, you know, the broad landscape of what people are doing with and for their community.
And then when you started the YouTube channel, has that been a challenge? Has there been challenges to that?
Well, Mark, you want to talk about our subscription level yet and how we're trying to bolster that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we have, you know, with YouTube, you can subscribe to a channel, and you know that's one of the key things that they kind of rate as far as social media is concerned. So we don't have a lot of subscribers. So you know, in time, I'm sure we'll get more subscribers. You know, we do get people viewing the videos, and pretty much the way they're finding the videos, I'm pretty sure is because we have a Facebook page for the channel, Disability Channel Minnesota. There's a Facebook page, so people can go to Facebook and look up our page and like it. And so whenever we have a new video we put out onto the channel, we always put it on our Facebook page. So then I think what happens is people see it on Facebook and then they view it from there.
So they can click on that.
Yeah, yeah, right. They click on that. It counts as a view, but yet they're not a subscriber. So we're scratching both of our heads and trying to figure out how to get more subscribers and that.
Yeah. Hmm. The Facebook page, we have over 700 or so followers, whereas the, you know, that's lagging on the YouTube page. So we're trying to figure out how to get, you know, translate one to the other.
Right. I'm wondering, guys, talk about the different guests that you've had on your show, besides us.
Right. Oh, exactly. Yeah. you're the top ones, of course.
Aww.
We've had an actual, you know, wide variety of guests. We've had people from Metropolitan Council for Independent Living and mm-hmm. the Disability Hub to come on and talk about those services. Mm-hmm. We've had people from the arts community, the Guthrie Theater, the Mixed Blood Theater, and also the Hennepin Theater Trust as well. And Mark, if you want to extrapolate on that, we just know.
Well, yeah, and you know, we've also talked to Can Do Canines, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to think of another one that we've done is that one of the things we're trying to do and what our one of our goals is, because being we're Disability Channel Minnesota, we want to try to reach out throughout the state, just not to Twin Cities. So one of the things that we are in the process of doing is we are finding other individuals with disabilities to be contributors to the show. And what we mean by that are people that are willing to set up and actually do interviews for our channel. And we've got one lady who's a little person, and she has a blog that she covers about theater and the arts. And so we call her our theater and our arts reporter, basically.
Aww.
Right. So it's kind of nice because she was the one that was able to come up with the interview with the Guthrie Theater, the Mixed Blood Theater, and the Hennepin Theater Trust. And right now, in the next month or so, we've got a person that who's going to be contributor out of Southern Minnesota and Austin. So he's going to cover the Rochester and Mankato area, talking to individuals or organizations. We've got someone who's going to cover, the Duluth area. And by having people in those areas doing the stories, we've been able to connect with the Rochester Community Access TV and also Duluth Community Access. So Disability Landscape will also be shown up in will be up in Duluth and also be shown down in Rochester. So as we branch out and find these contributors, we're able to get on their community access systems.
Where do you do the show from?
We tape the programs primarily at CCX Studios in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. I've been a member there for over 5 years, and it's a great facility. They offer great opportunity, even with the COVID restrictions that are currently going on, and we all know how those are. Mm-hmm. They make the facility really clean, really safe, and we're able to get in there and actually tape up to 3 or 4 programs per month. And we'll do a few that are strictly Zoom, kind of like we're doing here tonight, where we'll get together with a guest and tape it through Zoom and, package it up and put it on TV.
Has it been difficult to do the visual plus the audio?
Oh, it can be.
We had to bring that subject up.
I'm sorry. It's all part of the game, isn't it?
I better answer because Charlie will get pissed.
Uh-oh.
Charlie's the technical. He's the technical person. So you're right. It is tricky because when we do the Zoom at the studio, we have to bring it through the control room to the studio and then back out of the studio to the guests on Zoom. So yeah, it's a lot of pushing buttons and plugging things in. So it does get tricky, right, Charlie?
Very much so. There are some challenges. We've had our fair share of issues, but each time out is a education. So we figure out how to do things better the next time.
So now, how long have you been doing this show?
We began in July of last summer. Right after the studio started allowing people back in, we have produced 25 programs already that are out on YouTube, and we have 2 or 3 more ready to be edited and added. And we're producing programs every month, so we produce at least one program a week.
This makes me smile. I'm so glad to see you guys out here, but you guys are babies compared to how many programs we've done. I'm like, well, I'm glad there's someone else out here now. What's been some of your favorite moments doing this stuff?
I'll say one of them is we've had the opportunity to interview an actress who is wheelchair user. She's paraplegic from an accident. She's based in the Denver area, and we've had actually the opportunity twice now to speak to her, and she's just dynamite. You can ask her a question and she'll take up 10 minutes talking about it.
Those are the best. Which
makes our job that much easier.
Yes, exactly.
How about you, Mark?
For me, one of the fun things that we're doing that, you know, we were fortunate and lucky to be able to do is, I don't know if any of you listened to KS95. There used to be the Moon and Stacy show.
And
Moon retired just over a year ago because he's got MS. So that's kind of why he retired. And what's interesting is the producer of the Moon and Stacy show, I know through stand-up. She's a stand-up comedian, and I try to be a stand-up comedian. I go and I do open mics. But anyways, I reached out to her and I said, do you think Moon would, you know, be interested in doing an interview with us? And we interviewed Moon, and he really enjoyed it. And he says, let's keep doing this. So every other week we call his episodes Zooming with Moon. So about every other week we touch base with him. And it's fun to hear all the behind the scenes of radio broadcasting and all the stations he's been with.
I'm sure you ladies have had a far easier time in radio than he has, because he has told us some hair-raising tales.
Oh, we have our own.
Yeah, I would imagine. So that's been fun to establish that that connection with him and that. So
yeah, my favorites are when you get the people on and they give you a one word and then they stop. And yes, then you're like, this is going to be an episode.
Yeah.
I was a director for a program that spoke to local authors. Mm-hmm. And she always scheduled an hour for the program. Mm-hmm. But once the interview started, I could tell you exactly how long that interview would be based on how the person was talking. And, you know, it's terrible when you're sitting there going, we're not going to get 15 minutes out of this person.
We have been there, done that. Do you feel like having a show on disability topics? Do you feel like this in some way will improve the world or society? How, if so?
Ooh, that's a deep question.
It totally is.
That'd be on my favorite.
I didn't think it would be an essay question tonight. In our own small way, because we are exposing people to some of the opportunities that are out there. You know, like we're talking about the Guthrie Theater, and you know, they were great to tell us of all the opportunities they have, both for disabled actors and also for the audience, in all the ways that they have made the programming available to everyone, with descriptive service to hands-on for visually impaired people. They would allow in certain performances for the members to come on the stage and get a tactile feel,
right,
of the stage, of the set. So
yep, tactile tours, yes.
Yep, and you know, I think I had no idea that exists. So it's broadening what we know and can also bring it to everybody else out there.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of times all of us with our disabilities, we get so pigeonholed or focused
on our deal.
yeah, on our disabilities. And then when you start, and it's fun because like Charlie's saying, you know, we're meeting, you know, different people with their different challenges. And yeah, so it's very, you know, it's interesting to see. And we're hoping too that, you know, people might see something that they don't know that's out there that, you know, can exist for them, you know, gives, you know, basically we're just hoping someone will see something they don't know and will at least go out there and try it and see if they at least like it or not. So
I do want to make sure I mention their YouTube channel, which is Disability Channel Minnesota, correct?
Absolutely. Correct. Thank you.
So I wonder, you know, you touched on it a little bit, but there's always the idea of kind of what, I mean, we kind of go through this here too. And it's the idea of what do you want somebody who doesn't have a disability to take away from your show, right? Because the show really, I mean, we realize that there are people with disabilities that listen to the show, probably yep. Ones that have completely different disabilities than the topics that we're talking about. But there's also people who listen or maybe watch your show who don't have a disability. At least you hope that's the draw as well.
Right.
What would be, I mean, what do you want them to take away from the show?
I think that they will learn that disabled people are all around them for free, you know, whether they realize it or not, and that the roles that they can fulfill in life, you know, from being, you know, we're not all sitting at home playing Xbox or something like that. We are active working people that have fulfilling lives. And, you know, there's a blind spot to that, pardon the pun. When it comes to people recognizing others with disabilities and how they are active in society.
Yes, I think so too. I guess too, I mean, I hope that it educates them with the different types of disabilities, because I don't know about you guys, but I have so often met people that have said, I've never met anybody with a disability. And I laugh and I say, right, yes, yeah. You have. They've just never told you.
Yeah, exactly.
As people right, don't yeah. You know, often realize that there are hidden disabilities as well that most people don't talk about or try to reveal because of the, you know, stigma of what they feel, you know, yep. This will do.
Exactly. No, yeah, we talk about hidden disabilities semi-frequently, but you know, we know they're out there, and having people be aware of them is, you know, on top of my other disabilities, I'm a dialysis patient, which is in itself is its own disability.
Yep. Yes, it sure is.
And so, but that's so hidden from them because they don't see, you know, I'm not dragging a dialysis machine down right. The street with me.
Right.
So it's not recognized. But, you know, and they, you know, mental health issues, things like that, they're all hidden disabilities, but, you know, people just aren't aware of them. And we're trying to hope, you know, hopefully show people that all these people exist in your world. You just don't know it.
Right. So you guys, growing up with your disabilities, they were not hidden. There's no way to hide them.
No.
Not as we could stay behind a desk all day, you know.
What was that like for you guys? Talk a little bit about what that was like dealing with people and your classmates and teachers and things like that.
You know, for the most part, at Marshall University was considered an integrated school, whereas, you know, a large portion of the Minneapolis disabled population went there. So, you know, it was kind of a testing ground for the able-bodied students, as we consider them, to learn about people with disabilities, to accept them, be around them on a regular basis. You know, my favorite thing still is, you know, dealing with kids. You know, kids are curious. They're going to come up. They're going to ask questions. Right. Yeah. And, yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, you can play with them a little bit, you know, educate right. them. When, you know, their parents are often the one trying to drag them away. It's like, no, let them learn.
Right.
Let the kids learn. You know, I do have a minor mean streak, though, once in a while. one time in a Target store, a little boy came up to me and he says, you know, very, you know, I don't think it was curiosity. It was just kind of going, you know, a little mean spirited going, where are your legs? Well, I look down and go, oh my God, they're gone. And that little boy ran away to his parents going, Mom, he didn't know his legs were gone. You know, most of the time I use that as a teaching experience. But, you know, some days you're just not in the mood.
For me, one of the hilarious moments and comforting moment really for me was I've got two kids. They're adults now, but they're still kids, 26 and 22. But when my daughter was about 7 or 8 years old, I had promised her, you know, we'd go buy a doll. And so we were at the mall, going through the mall to the store to get her doll. And my daughter's the type, she's very focused. Once when you say you're going to go get it, she wants to go and get that doll, that type of thing. So what was interesting is as we were going to the store through the mall, as usual, a kid stopped and asked, what happened to you? My daughter, knowing that I have a tendency to talk and it could take some time, when the kid asked that, before I could even start talking, she looked at the kid. He was born that way. Okay, come on, Dad, let's go. She didn't want me to start talking because it was going to be cutting into time for her to go get that doll. So she just, it was just so comforting because, I mean, both of my kids just got, you know, they got used to the questioning. And in fact, they, in a strange way, they kind of enjoyed it because they were always curious to see, let's see what kind of mood Dad's in today. You know, is he in a talkative mood or is he just going to kind of ignore? Because sometimes you just ignore him because, you know, you want to get someplace and you don't want to talk to every kid. But, but that moment, that one time when my daughter just looked at that kid, he was born that way. Come on, Dad.
Yeah, I try to always go kind of by the premise of, you know, fear that instills, you know, meanness and teasing in people and kids.
Right.
Their knowledge, once they understand, they're more like humans to everyone. Right, yeah.
And, you know, oftentimes it's more about teaching their parents than it is the kids.
Ah, yes. We've had
because
lots
the kids
of that.
Are naturally curious and, you know, it's good for them.
So what do you guys do outside of doing your show?
Well, until the lockdown ends, not much. But I operate an adapted sports program for adults with disabilities that we've been going strong now for 25 years. It's called We Love to Play. And, you know, we play, I don't know if you're familiar, but Minnesota State High School League sponsors adapted sports for kids in high school.
Okay.
They play floor hockey, soccer, and softball. Well, I found that a great number of these kids want to continue playing after they get out of high school. Mm-hmm. So I give them that opportunity.
Cool. And how old do you coach till?
Well, we have kids actually from probably 15, 16. All the way up to 67.
Excellent. I may be looking at stuff then.
we have a great time.
That's really cool. So adaptive, I presume you mean like it's an all wheelchair thing, or is it different types of disabilities in there?
It is a wide variety of disabilities, from cognitive disabilities to people with severe cerebral palsy. you know, the rules are written as such to kind of level the playing field for everybody. Mm-hmm. Nobody's, you know, outrunning somebody else. It's been a real fun experience because you see these kids come out that that are real timid. They don't know what they're doing. You get them on the hockey floor and they score a goal, and it's, you know, the first one they've ever scored in their life, and they're just so excited, and you're excited for them. Mm. And that's part of the thrill of what we do.
And how about you, Mark?
For me, I go to the rec center here. I live in Jordan, just southwest of Shakopee. So I like mm-hmm. to go work out every day. And then before all this COVID, I also would go up and, like I mentioned a little bit, doing stand-up. I'd like to go and I would do open mics and comedy shows. And obviously all my comedy is based on my disability, but being when someone first sees me, mm-hmm. they assume I'm an amputee because it's really hard to see my legs and that. So a lot of my jokes are based off of, I don't have any legs. It's just, you know, my comedy stuff is based on that. So when people come and watch my comedy who know me and know I have these small legs, afterwards they go, "Oh, Mark, you're a liar. You've got legs." I go, "What happens at the comedy club stays at the comedy club."
Exactly. I wonder if you could give me some thoughts on your insight as far as, you know, we have so many things now with people with disabilities. I mean, you have sports, you have education, you have theoretically employment, all these different facets that people without disabilities do as well. Where are we in the playing field? Are we anywhere near? I mean, it seems like we, as far as we presume we've come, it feels like there's still a ways to go. Where do you guys feel like we are?
You're right. There is, we have come a long way. I mean, you know, Mark and I are old enough now that we were, you know, adults when the ADA was passed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen the changes, but there's still, I don't want to say prejudice, but unawareness of people with disabilities and what they're capable of. And that's an education thing. That's not, you know, building a ramp or getting, you know, access to a building. That's actually changing the perceptions of people and how they see disability.
Yeah, because like what this one time when I was working as a computer programmer and that. And what was interesting is the people that I was working with, they all had the opportunity to go get training, and they all selected to go to California for their training. Mm-hmm. And when it came time for me to go for training, my boss said, "Okay, Mark, we're going to send you to Chicago." And I'm like, "What the heck did I do? You know, I don't recall saying anything or pissing the boss off. Why am I going to Chicago?" I couldn't understand it. But as he was talking, he goes, "Yeah, Mark, we're going to send you to Chicago. Then you can drive your car." And then I'm like, "God, why did I really piss him off? Everyone else was flying. Why am I having to drive to Chicago?" But I then put two and two together and I'm like, "Oh, he doesn't realize you can rental cars can have hand controls put in mm-hmm. them." He didn't understand that. And I said, "Hey, Ernie," the name right there, Ernie. But I mean, I said, "Ernie, you can, you know, Hertz and all the major car rentals, you just tell them you need hand controls and they'll put them in for you." He goes, "Really?" I go, "Yeah, I can rent a car with hand controls." He says, "Oh, you want to go to California then?" I said, "Yes, I want to go to California." So yeah, you're always having in the back of your mind, making sure that you're aware of your coworkers or your bosses that, you know, these opportunities you know, like driving or getting a rental car, you can do. Otherwise, for me, I'm stuck in Chicago. Nothing against Chicago, but in the wintertime, I wanted California. So
do you feel, I know when I was growing up, you know, I remember having jobs when I was a teenager, and there probably wasn't as many disability rules or laws put into place. I mean, you hoped that people didn't discriminate. You knew they did all the time.
Right, yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
I often remember going in and giving a good interview or convincing the person, hey, I know I can do this job. This is what I have to do. So how about it? And they would give you, I had often gotten a chance. Not that I never got discriminated again. I certainly did. But I had always held a job during high school and my college days. And I feel like now I see so many people with disabilities, like in my area of disability, that don't work. And they, it's interesting now because I think we have more rules or laws to protect people theoretically with disability and employment. I'm wondering, do you ever think that that hurts employing people with disabilities, that people get scared, or that there's any other aspects to that?
You know, I would almost tend to believe that you almost sometimes wonder if they're a little skeptical about hiring someone with a disability, because they're afraid that it might they might screw up somehow and cause a problem or something like that. I mean, for me, I was fortunate because I went to Brown Institute, took some computer programming, but my first job was at Honeywell, and my dad worked there. So he at least, you know, he at least got me in the door. You know, I still had to prove myself, but it did help, because, you know, all you need is that chance a lot of times to prove yourself. But you're right, with everything going on, someone might be hesitant about giving someone that chance because of the fact, you know, they're afraid, oh gosh, I might screw up or something might happen. Is it really worth taking that risk?
And as I see it, one of the things I think that kind of scares some employers off is the term reasonable accommodation. They're not sure what that means. And they think, you know, they're going to dig deep in the pocket to, you know, make everything picture perfect for a person with disability. Whereas for a lot of us, it's just, you know, raise a desk an inch, something like that. You know, make it accommodable for a wheelchair to get through. But they get scared off by what they think they might have to do to make it accessible for you.
What do you guys see for the future of disability landscape?
I think what we had mentioned is that we're starting to get other contributors onto the channel and part of the show. So we'd really like to kind of get it out there more outstate, like in the, you know, we'd like to get a connection in St. Cloud. If there's anyone who hears this in St. Cloud, you know, reach out to us. But yeah, so we'd really like to get, we've got someone in Duluth and Rochester, but we'd like to get other parts like Mankato, and honestly, we're not sure what the future is for this. We're just seeing where it takes us to some extent.
Yeah, again, I want to echo Mark there. We want to, you know, it's Disability Channel Minnesota is the YouTube channel. We want to reach all of Minnesota, everybody, you know, from International Falls to Worthington, you know, and just kind of get people involved to know what is out there for them to do, to see, to be a part of, and just, you know, become involved. And that is also where we're talking in getting the contributors. We want people who, you know, are living in small town Minnesota, with a disability to tell us what their life is like and what they're doing to, you know, move beyond it.
Mm. And are either of you still involved with Disability Viewpoints? Oh, you know, is that still going on?
Yeah, it's still going on. Not at this time, because right now with Disability Viewpoints, with the limited number of people, they're doing it all through Zoom. So I was like a camera operator. So those are not, you know, aren't needed at this time and that. So
yeah. And do you feel like these types of shows, I mean, do you think they will be more popular? I know there's this whole thing that goes back and forth with internet, you know, radio,
yeah,
TV, YouTube. And I think there's enough out there for everyone, but I think there's always that thing is, how do you keep people involved? And for, I would think for YouTube, you know, a lot of the kids are involved in that. And maybe part of the deal is to figure out what hooks them and get them involved with disability topics and whatnot, because they have disabilities too. You know, it's like there's a cutoff at 25 or whatever. A new generation does not have a disability anymore. That's simply not true.
Yeah, that's not the case. And yeah, YouTube is, you know, a big platform, and it's attracting the viewers that you want to see or you think you want to reach. And the problem is there's a lot of competition.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, you know, there's a lot of people out there. You know, we're learning as we go along what we need to do to make people interested in what our product is.
So if you had, do you have any advice to give to anybody who is considering trying to start a show or trying to get involved with this type of thing?
Contact us.
Yeah.
No, go out there and do it, especially nowadays, because, you know, Zoom is so, you know, Zoom's not going to disappear. I mean, it will disappear somewhat when COVID is gone, but still, Zoom's going to be out there. And when we've been talking to these individuals who are going to be contributors, you know, we tell them, you know, we're going to handle the Zoom part of it. We just want you to, you know, make the connections, and they will do the interview, and then one of us will join them, because with Disability Landscape, both Charlie and I are, you know, asking the question, and we like the two people approach, because then we kind of make it more into a conversation.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. A conversational type thing. So.
Yeah. That's just it. You see so many programs or hear, you know, radio programs that they're talking at you and not talking with you. Mm. You know, it's not a conversation. They're just telling you their opinion. Mm-hmm. I want people to, you know, talk back and forth.
So as far as in the disability world or genre, what do you guys see as things that you feel that your show can help improve on?
Connections, you know, connecting people.
Yeah, that's what it really comes down to, is connecting people with the services and organizations that are out there for people. Because I think a lot of folks, you know, the younger folks just, you know, they don't realize it. I mean, obviously, they have it set up a little bit better now because they've got the internet, where, you know, when we were growing up, it was basically, you know, the newspaper and word of mouth, that type of thing. But yeah, the connections.
Are there any other things that you feel you want people to know about your show or
when you said if there's other people out there that want to do, something like that, that we are doing. Part of the thing we look at Disability Channel Minnesota like a channel, kind of like your channel 4 WCCO, mm-hmm. your channel 11 care, where if someone out there who wants to put together a show, we'd love to put it on our channel, for YouTube, with a YouTube channel. What we do is we end up creating what it's called a playlist. So if someone comes to us and they go, hey, I got these videos I just kind of want to make, we would take all their videos and give them their own playlist. So example, Disability Landscape, we have a playlist of all the interviews. One of the other, we call them shows, that we're trying to do is one we call Discapades, Disability Escapades, where, and we've talked to a couple people, and really that's just kind of a story, talking to different individuals with disabilities and just talking about the different kind of their stories or scenarios that they've run into. It's not to be complaining type thing, but just the strange, I mean, I'm sure both of you have had those moments too, because of your disability and you're like, really? This just,
We want to explore the funny things that happen to you as a person with disability that, often may be related to the disability or just in general. And, it's a way of sharing stories to make people laugh.
Gotcha. It may not be funny at that time when it happened to you, but looking back, you're like, really?
Yeah, we've all got them, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, guys, do you want to share how people can contact you and also what's going to be on your next program?
Well, coming up, we are going to be putting out interview with a gentleman named Peter Winslow. He has a disability. He is a trombone player, which is interesting because he uses a prosthetic to help play the trombone. And he'll be coming up here in the next week or so. We've got a lot of things in the hopper right now.
Well, with Peter, the reason we reached out to him, the main reason we reached out to him is he's a reporter broadcast for a community access system out in Stillwater, Valley Access TV. So he's going to be a contributor to our channel also, because he's already in the media world. And what else do we just did some other interviews, Charlie?
Well, we spoke to Reagan recently, and we'll be putting that back up there. Reagan Linton is our actress friend from Colorado, and she's always a great guest to talk to, so we'll be bringing her back up. But if they want to reach us, our email address is disabilitychannelmn@gmail.com.
Do you want to give that once more, please?
It's disabilitychannelmn@gmail.com.
All right.
Well, I'll go to our Facebook page and message us there too. Our Facebook page is Disability Channel Minnesota, and you can message us there.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate that. It's been fun to have you guys. This has been Disability and Progress. The views expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KFAI or its board of directors. My name is Sam. I'm the host of this show. Annie Harview engineers. Charlene Dahl is my research team. You can be on our emailing list by emailing us at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com and find out what is coming up from week to week. Or if you have ideas, share those there too. And you can hear us by going to kfai.org/disabilityandprogress or download the app from your great app store on your smartphone, and you can carry us with you. This has been KFBI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFBI.org. Tonight we were speaking with Mark Knutson and Charlie Brose talking about their program, Disability Landscape, on their YouTube channel, Disability Channel Minnesota. Thanks for joining me. Good night. KFBI.org.